Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now, finishing strong here on a Tuesday as we are out and about at one of the great spots here in Kansas City. Great Mexican food, great people. That's what you get at Rancho Grande. Come on out and celebrate a little Cinco de Mayo all week long. Great specials on the Corona Light, Corona Premier. You can get it right now. It is a dollar off the bottles. Got one more hour to enjoy. Buck off the bottles of all the Coronas. Take advantage of that. It's good till 6 o'clock. At our location here in Blue Springs, northeast corner of 70 and 7, but also Parkville and Liberty as well. And, of course, big celebration going on for Cinco de Mayo. Outdoor music at all three locations. They'll be rocking and rolling all day long, plus specials on the import bottles. And don't forget about their catering. They do phenomenal catering. So if you've got a wedding, if you've got a graduation coming up, anything that needs great catering, Rancho Grande can take care of you. Go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com. Check them out on Instagram, Facebook, as well. You can see all their daily specials there. And don't forget about Mom. Mother's Day is coming up May 12th. $5.50 strawberry margaritas, $2 off fajitas for Mom. Take advantage of it. And, of course, they give back to the community as well. Great KC company. They have their big wiffle ball tournament benefiting Alzheimer's Association. That's on September 21st. Go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com and find more information. Better yet, come on out here in person and celebrate with some puffy tacos, wonderful fajitas. It's Rancho Grande. Three locations in Parkville, Liberty, and where we are here in Blue Springs. Got a bit of an audible today. We'll be talking to Gary Parrish. Not bad.
Pretty good audible.
Not bad when the audible is Gary Parrish. Talk about the latest on all the maneuverings that have gone on when it comes to the transfer portal. Where do the local schools sit right now? We'll get into that with him coming up here in a little bit. First, though, we give you the things you need to know in addition to Rancho Grande and their wonderful specials.
That's you better know.
Yeah, you better know. Kansas City Star today had a story detailing Kansas's plan. Their legislature wraps up tonight, and they are going to vote on basically putting together what Sam McDowell called superstar bonds, basically to fund the construction of a professional sports
facility.
Building.
Yeah.
Facility. It has to be for NFL, MLB, NBA, or NHL. So we're talking about football or baseball stadiums. Got to be at least $1 billion in investment. Got to be at least 30,000 seats. Presumably that's for the stadium. If it's NBA or NHL, that would be different.
Right.
But for the stadium, got to be 30,000 seats. And they've made it clear they're targeting the Royals and Chiefs. In response to that, Governor Parsons was, where was he today?
He was at a groundbreaking ceremony somewhere. I didn't see what the location was, but he was at another event.
KNBC Channel 9 had this video. We've got the audio from it. Our thanks to Channel 9, Missouri Governor Parsons, aware of what's going on in the state of Kansas regarding his two teams that reside currently in Missouri. He says the state will fight to keep him.
Yeah, I don't question responding to what Kansas does, but look, we're going to do everything we can to keep the Royals, Kansas City Chiefs, in the state of Missouri. Now, what that looks like at the end of the day, I don't know, but look, they're a long-time part of who we are in Missouri, and, you know, it's like any other thing. We're going to be competitive.
Not going to respond, but you are.
You just did.
I mean, and I don't even mean verbally. I mean, you're going to have to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
You know, you're going to have to respond. If they put this, if this passes, and they start working towards putting a plan together to build stadiums for the Royals and Chiefs in Kansas, you're going to respond.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, a little bit of semantics. But right, like right. I'm not going to. You're 100% responding.
Yes, exactly.
This is why you wanted to get the last vote passed. So this would be done, and you would have the teams. There would have been a lot more work to be done, obviously, to get it, get the stadiums actually up and running. But make no mistake about it, he will respond. They have no choice but to respond if indeed they want to keep the teams, and I think they will. But I just think that's a little bit of whether that's he took a bit of a beating for the statement he made several years ago that we'll match anything.
So I'm going to go the other direction.
So I'm going to go the other direction. Somewhere in between your two responses lies reality.
Yeah.
Okay?
It hit better.
One more from the Missouri governor. Governor Parsons says it's worth fighting to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Missouri.
They are very huge in the impact of the economy in our state. I mean, this is like something we don't want to lose out on just because we didn't get the right tools in place. You know, there's a point of it's a business decision. The state's got to do their part. City and the county's got to do their part if they're going to do their part. And then we've got to see what we got at the end of the day.
I mean, that's all. That's
it's boilerplate. It's what you would expect from, I guess, a person of his position.
But he's right. I mean, I think it's accurate. Yeah. I have no problem with those statements.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
But let's make it clear: the governor sees those two teams as economic engines. Isn't that what he called them?
Pretty clear. Yeah.
So, listen, I know there are many studies that have been done that say that there's the economic impact is not a positive. People like governors say it is.
You know, it's always the governors who say that. I mean, how much money do they make outside of just, you know, or indirectly, I guess. I'm not sure what term you'd want to use, from being a state that has professional sports in it. Right now they have three. Could they do it with just one of the two big?
I don't want to make a blanket response to all economic studies. You know, you'd have to look at each one and say, okay, well, what about this? What about this? You know, the specifics of those economic studies. The things of those economic studies, to me, that you can't quantify is what are the tangible benefits of having entertainment in your neighborhood, in your metropolitan area, in your city? How much money does the airport put in my pocket?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't quantify it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. But if you can't come and go, I know my friends don't come to town if we don't have an airport here. That's an important part of the equation to me. I know I can't travel as freely. I know business-wise, our company can't go cover Super Bowls and Final Fours. Can I quantify what the airport puts in my pocket? I can't. But I can tell you we need it. Right? And now, I think the teams are down that road. Where are they? I don't know. Like, will I stay in Kansas City if the Royals and Chiefs were to leave for Austin, Texas? Probably not.
No.
So you will lose one
and
person.
And it's not just because of the job we have. A lot of people, I think.
It is first and foremost.
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of people that, like, they want to live in a town that has professional sports.
And people may not go, that's it, I'm moving. But it's certainly going to cut down on the likelihood that someone would move to here. I'm going to move somewhere. Do I want to go to Kansas City? Do I want to go to whatever city that has teams? I think I'll go to that team or that city.
If there's no value to it, why does virtually every athletic department run at a deficit? And they do, unless you are now counting charity and donations.
Right.
Right. Oh, you know, Syracuse Athletics made $1.5 million. Yes, off $38 million in donations. Right? It's the only thing I've ever seen that donations count as somehow revenue.
Yeah.
Right? But these schools do it. Why? All you have to do is look at K-State. Their football team was brutal. Bill Snyder turned it around. The student body exploded population-wise.
Yep.
Exploded. I mean, they, like, all over
it's
the
one
place.
One of the decisions you made when you went to school. I want to go to a place that's got good football and basketball teams.
They had to have good football or basketball. I wasn't going to be greedy.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to have one or the other so I had something that I could root for after I got done so I could be a part of a community around the school and come together to watch games and root for the team. So, look, the bottom line is the governor just said they're an economic engine. He believes they're an economic engine. The question is, can they now create the best? And I think as the incumbent, it's kind of like a heavyweight champion. You got to win.
Right. Yes.
Kansas is going to have to knock out Missouri to get him. All things equal, stay with the family, you know, as opposed to picking up and moving. But it's official. We didn't think it'd take long. It hasn't. And Kansas and Sam McDowell thought they would pass it. It would take a while. But Kansas is now entering the fray to provide the stadiums and homes for the Royals and Chiefs. It's up to Missouri to be ready to respond. We'll see how they do. You know, not giant news.
No.
But big news. It's official.
Yep.
right?
Yes.
The game is officially at hand.
And I think that's an important step. I mean, it's one thing to say what we think is going to happen or what's likely to happen, but the minute something is officially put in motion, that's everything changes, goes to the next step.
Baseball, Royals back at it tonight with the Blue Jays, 6:07, first pitch. Jays minus 135, Royals plus 115. That's because the Jays ace is on the bump. Jose Berrios, 4-1 with a 123. Cole Reagan's 1-2. Is he up to a 390?
Yep. A couple.
Wow.
This shortest span of innings pitched, that one outing just crushed him. You give up seven and then less than three innings. That number's jumping.
1-2 with a 390, getting the Royals at plus 115 with Reagan's on the bump. Never a bad idea to jump on that, but Berrios is very good. As I mentioned again, the Jays pitcher, 4-1 with a 1.23 ERA. Sal Perez back in the lineup for tonight's game. He will play first base and back cleanup. Vinny Pascatino will DH Freddie Fermin in at catcher. So Sal Perez had the tight back yesterday, scratched from the lineup. We knew he was in pretty good shape because he pinch hit last night. Got a base hit in the ninth inning, but he's back up in there. Not playing first, but is in the field. He'll play first base tonight for the Royals.
MLB note, our friend Jeff Passan reporting, Angels outfielder Mike Trout requires knee surgery. The full extent is not clear. It is not expected to be season-ending. More to come.
You want to know why he needs knee surgery?
Because Passan was at a wrestling
match. No, because I paid $46 for Mike Trout.
Of course.
On my fantasy baseball team.
I saw you drop the pen. I was like, that had to be on your team.
10 home runs, like 8-9. He was stealing bases this year, too.
Maybe he shouldn't have been.
Like, I'm a genius.
Maybe he shouldn't have been. Hit home runs, son. That's what you do now.
It's ruined my day.
How about passing? Good seats, huh?
By the way,
for the wrestling?
Yeah.
Right between the two announcers, looking over Pat McAfee's shoulder. There he is.
Because he doesn't get enough camera time.
No, not
at ESPN.
All. Not at all.
He's got to go stick his mug right behind.
Decided to dress up wearing a loose collared T-shirt. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Being passing.
Yeah. We'll talk
Good
to
life.
Him about it on Thursday. Our Royals have sent right-hand pitcher Jonathan Bolin back to Omaha. To recall right-hand pitcher Colin Selby. Bolin allowed 4 runs over 2+ last night. You know, hopefully he'll be better when he comes back up. I'm not overly optimistic that he's an answer as a starting pitcher. But the interesting part about Colin Selby, if he does get into tonight's game, the 1,000th player in the history of baseball.
Yes. And the keeper of those numbers, Kurt Nelson, notes that sometimes the yo-yo guy gets in, sometimes he doesn't. Maybe he comes up. We've had 2 or 3 guys in the last year or so. They come up, they don't play, then they're back down the next night. It's just in case. So 1,000 could still be somebody else's.
Kind of inauspicious. No offense.
Yeah.
Colin Selby. But
yeah, you're like, huh?
Not exactly the debut of Bobby Witt Jr.
Not at all. Or Zach Greinke or anybody like him.
Jaguars have released Zay Jones today. This is a week after they took a wideout in the first round. $4.5 million in cap savings the Jaguars will save. You know, they got to cap trouble real quick.
Yes, they did.
They went from, I mean, that was the Andy Reid, John Dorsey blueprint as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're bad. We have a ton of cap room. We're going to spend it all and get better. Jaguars got better. Didn't make the playoffs last year, but back at it. He was signed to a 3-year deal in 22. He's gone from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a 4-time Pro Bowl quarterback, Chris Harris Jr. of
KU,
Kansas Jayhawks. He signed with the Broncos as an undrafted free agent back in 2011. Played his first 9 seasons with Denver. Won a Super Bowl with the Broncos. Was a first-team All-Pro in 16 and was named to the 2010s All-Decade Team. He hasn't played since 22. With the Saints, he officially announced his retirement.
Pretty good for undrafted free agent, All-Decade Team, fringe Hall of Famer.
Yeah, not bad.
Well, him and he and, well, they had, those corners are so good. Two KU guys. I mean, I'm not a Kansas fan, but you watch those two teams and you're like, that's pretty good. Why didn't they win more?
NBA news, Joel Embiid.
Speaking of KU.
And Kelly Oubre, two KU former standouts. Missed shoot-around today for the Sixers ahead of their Game 5, important Game 5. They're down 3-1. Embiid missed with a migraine and Bell's palsy and a bum knee. but the migraine. Officially, why he wasn't at shoot-around, Kelly Oubre had an illness. The Sixers back at it with the Knicks tonight for Game 5. It's at 6 o'clock on TNT. Knicks 3.5-point favorites. Who you got?
Knicks seem to be able to figure it out right now. I'll take the what they call them, the Nova Knicks.
Okay.
I think Jalen Brunson, 28. Knicks win by 6.
Clippers star Kawhi Leonard will miss his second straight game and remain out for Wednesday's Game 5 against the Mavericks. Head coach Ty Lue said Leonard would not practice today as he continues to treat the inflammation in his surgically repaired right knee. Has anybody given less after, well, yes, Steven Strasburg gave less after being given a lot.
Yeah, right.
But Kawhi Leonard's been, like, just constantly hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to the Clippers.
More updated. Well, when's he coming back? When's he coming back? Not what he's doing.
Yet again, the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers game can be caught. Game 5, it's at 7 o'clock on NBA TV.
Mm-hmm.
They have decided nobody wants to watch that game.
No, that entire series.
That entire series has been on NBA yep. TV.
Yep. 7 p.m. on NBA TV every
yeah.
day.
Listen, it's a couple of exciting young teams, which the NBA might want to start embracing.
Yes.
LeBron and the Lakers are out. Steph Curry and the Warriors are out.
Mm-hmm.
KD and the Suns are out. You know, maybe.
Maybe.
Start embracing some of the younger teams.
Yep. They're going to be hoops carrying you in about 3 years.
We'll see. Pacers at Bucks. By the way, Giannis and the Bucks could be going out as well. That game 5 is at 8:30 on TNT. Pacers 3.5-point favorites in that one. So
a road favorite of more than 3. They know the Bucks are toast.
Everyone's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's
hurt.
They
don't
hurt.
Have anybody. And Tyrese Halliburton's a bad man.
He's bad. They're a good.
The whole team's good.
They're a good, well-built team. Listen, if you're an NBA casual fan, watch the T-Wolves, watch the Thunder, and watch the Pacers. Probably in that order, maybe Thunder, T-Wolves, Pacers. Those are teams for the future. I'm not sure what the T-Wolves are going to do with Karl Anthony Towns. He could be part of a trade to rework that roster. But talented young players, stars of tomorrow, because until Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, until they'll play second fiddle and just be a complimentary player, they're not going to any more playoffs. They're certainly not doing anything more than in and out.
Yeah. Although the Wolves will have to figure out what they're going to do with their head coach watching from the bench, because he's going to have surgery to repair a right patellar tendon
yeah.
tomorrow that he blew out in a team's win. That's – talk about – yay. Oh, damn.
Yeah. Mike, it was scary because he was down and they didn't yes. know why he was down. They didn't know if he collapsed like a heart condition or yep. or what. And then they saw him sit up. Like, okay, he's sitting up. They realized it was a leg injury. But yeah, patella tendon surgery coming at some point for their head coach. We'll take a break. We're here at Rancho. Rancho Grande. 3 locations around the metro to serve you. Parkville, Liberty, Blue Springs. Now until 6 o'clock, you can save $1 on any bottle of Corona beer. They'll have a great Cinco de Mayo party going on. Live music happening at all 3 locations, outside all 3 locations. Coming up this Sunday, Parkville, Erica McKenzie, Chris Stewart in Blue Springs. Travis Marvin, Patrick Woolham. Take advantage of it. They'll have giveaways all day, Cinco de Mayo, at one of Kansas City's best, Rancho Grande. We're here in Blue Springs, basically the northeast corner of 70 and 7.
32 leagues, 350 teams, 7 nights a week. There is nothing quite like college basketball. And no one covers it any better than he does. He's our college basketball insider, Gary Parrish of CBS Sports, only on the program.
That's right. Let's talk some college hoops. We always talk to college athletics here on a Tuesday in the 5 o'clock hour. We're fortunate enough, pinch hitting. We had a substitution we had to make. Gary Parrish, the best in the business when it comes to covering the college basketball. You can read his great work at CBS Sports. Hear his work mm-hmm. at the Eye on College Basketball podcast. That is Gary Parrish. Always love talking the college hoops to him. We're at Rancho Grande. Great spot for you to come down and celebrate Cinco de Mayo. They'll have all kinds of festivities going on, including live music They'll have giveaways all day long at all three locations. That's Parkville, Liberty, and Blue Springs. Right now, you still got some time to take advantage of a dollar off any of the bottles of Coronas.
Strong. I like that.
I'll go Corona Premier.
I'm going to get some, they got the flour, the deep-fried flour chips. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're so good.
The puffy tacos are a big hit, as always. The fajitas were great. I got the fajita salad. It was fantastic as well.
The game I'm going to play when I get these chips when we leave is how far do I get down 70 or whichever I go before they're gone? Because they ain't making it home.
No.
Because those flour, deep-fried flour, oh, just the best. A little flaky, crispy on the outside. Just so good. A little bit of salt.
Don't forget Rancho Grande caters as well, graduations, weddings, anything that needs catering, they got you covered. Just go to RanchoGrandeCantina.com. Let's talk some college hoops with our man Gary Parrish. He joins us here in the program. Gary, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. How are you?
Doing very good. Thank you for pinch hitting today. We appreciate it. You're a scholar and incredibly good looking too. You know, that's a
I think you took it one compliment too far, but I appreciate it.
You're not sending it back.
Yeah. No. And nor should you. And no offense taken for you not taking it back. I know I belong on radio. Trust me. You TV guys have the face. Let me ask you this.
I ended up on TV with a radio face. I know who I am. I can see myself.
Yeah. Let's start with this. Am I looking at this right? The top 25 and one that was just updated, today? Is got Kansas at the top?
Yeah, ever since they added A.J. Storr and these other pieces, and obviously with Hunter Dickinson returning, I don't really think there's even a debate right now about who's got the best roster in the country. It's clearly Kansas. I mean, you've got all-league caliber guys, and I emphasize the word caliber, but all-league caliber guys at every starting position. The depth issues that they had this season should not be an issue next season. You'll have, in theory, returning players coming off your bench, heralded transfers coming off your bench, a five-star freshman coming off your bench. Obviously, nothing is ever guaranteed, but at this point, it's hard to imagine somebody ending up with a better roster than Kansas before we get to opening day. Don't rule out anything with Kentucky or Arkansas because you're dealing with major NIL money. I guess Alabama could probably get in that conversation as well. But right now, Kansas has got the best roster in the country. Kansas is the favorite in the betting markets to win the 2025 NCAA tournament. And yes, KU, number one in the top 25 and one.
And they've added a lot of shooting as well. Did they add exactly what they were missing? Does this look like Bill Self didn't just go out and cast a net and see what came in, but that he went out and targeted a specific type of player?
I think Bill's doing that. I think Dan Hurley is doing that. I think some of the best coaches in the country are starting to realize that simply adding talent with little regard for how it fits together and how it works, particularly, in modern basketball, that's not a good strategy anymore. You know, once upon a time, you would just go out and sign, and I'm overstating this a little bit, but you go out and sign the best four or five high school players you can find, and, as long as they don't mind playing with each other, we'll try to figure out how they can play with each other. Well, now coaches are, I think, looking up at the NBA and seeing how roster construction is such a big deal there and recognizing that shooting is a priority and never more so than it is now. So, yeah, at Kansas, they're not just adding players. They're adding pieces that theoretically fit well together and can complement each other, and that's obviously a smart approach. I don't know why it took some coaches as long as it has to start doing this, but you are seeing it more and more than we've ever seen it right now for two reasons. A, it's at the front of everybody's mind, but B, there are so many players available in the transfer portal, quality players. Keep in mind, 4 years ago, in the end of April, you can't go out and add quality pieces. They don't exist. But right now, there's so many quality pieces everywhere. People aren't just adding the talented folks. They're adding the talented folks that fit best with the roster they already have in place.
Do you know, are the numbers just growing as far as the number of players in the portal?
Oh, sure. It's at a record high, and I imagine it'll be a record high consistently year over year until we resolve this one way or another. Now, you probably read Pete Bammel had a story yesterday. Ross Dellinger had one a few weeks ago detailing how we are moving closer to a situation where there's going to be an agreement in place between the NCAA and student athletes, and there will be revenue sharing, and you know, we'll get to the place we've always needed to be. But there's no indication that that's going to be, you know, tomorrow or 5 years from now. I think it's probably closer to now than later, but still not something you could just snap your fingers and fix. And so until then, as long as, you know, college coaches are operating with collectives and out there quite literally buying players, then it makes no sense for most student athletes to get into the transfer portal. Like, I don't want to mess with anybody's happiness. Like, if you know where you want to be and you feel like you're fairly compensated and you're happy with everything in life, just stay there. That makes sense. But for everybody else, I think it would be helpful if you stop, and I don't mean you, but like just people, stop looking at these student athletes in a traditional sense as basketball players, college basketball players, and look at them as young people who are entering a job market. That's what you do when you enter the transfer portal. You make it known to the world, I'm looking for a job. Is anybody interested in hiring me? And the same way it works when I'm looking for a job or you're looking for a job, if there are people out there interested in you, they start making offers. And sometimes one offer is more than the next, and sometimes one offer is more than the next, and sometimes you can leverage an offer into a bigger offer from somebody else. And this is the way recruiting is working right now. I had a coach who's a mid-major coach, but I just coincidentally talked to him today, and he said he lost a player last night that he thought he could get, and he lost him to a conference rival. And he told me that today his athletic director called him and said, we just threw another $80,000 or secured another $80,000 to put in your budget to go buy players. Let's go get the next one. This is the game now. It's a money game.
How much is that impacting the effort that colleges, particularly top colleges, expend on getting top high school players? I remember the McDonald's All-American game was always, you know, an event we couldn't wait to see, everyone to see who had the top five recruiting class, and now it's kind of swept aside with who's in the portal. How has that changed what colleges are putting into the high school players?
Changed it dramatically. I think the biggest losers in all of this are, you know, good but not great high school prospects. Because now if you're ranked, say, 150th in the country, you used to could maybe hope to be Kansas's fourth best recruit or, you know, Alabama's third best recruit. Well, now those schools probably don't even want you, because if you're ranked 150th in your high school class, that means there's about 150 18-year-olds coming to college who are better than you. And that doesn't even account for the 19-year-olds and the 20-year-olds and the 21s and the 22s and the 23s and so on and so forth. So what most coaches are telling me now is that, yeah, if there's a Zion Williamson or a Kevin Durant or a Derrick Rose out there, they want to take them for sure. But they want to surround those players not with three or four other freshmen, but with more established and proven products from the transfer portal. Simply put, if your options right now are to take the 117th best high school graduate or the 50th best transfer who's already 21 years old, odds are that 50th best transfer is going to help you immensely more than the high school player. And so the classes are getting flipped a little bit. 10 years ago, if you were going to sign five players, it might really be four high school players and a transfer. Now, if you're signing five players, if you're doing it right, it probably needs to be at least three and maybe four transfers and only one or two high school players. That seems like the proper recipe now.
Gary Parrish is with us. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, an official healthcare provider of Kansas Athletics. Together with LMH Health, if you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Gary, real quick, one last question about Kansas. If they had a weakness right now, what is it?
continuity, right? They do, like, a lot of these guys just don't know each other. Like AJ Storr doesn't know Rylan Griffin, and Zeke Mayo doesn't know KJ Adams. So one of the things we've learned, I think, in recent years, and it's a small sample size because we've only been operating in this way for a very brief amount of time, but yeah, you do need to reload in the transfer portal, but there becomes a place where too many at the same time can become counterproductive. In other words, I don't know who did this study last year. I just sort of randomly saw it in late February, early March. And I bookmarked it, but I couldn't find it, so perhaps I didn't bookmark it well. But it was like, here are the X amount of teams that took at least 7 Division I transfers in advance of last season. And if I remember correctly, like almost all of them were not very good. So you have to strike a balance between returning guys and then bringing new guys in. And honestly, I think Kansas has done that pretty well by returning 3 starters and then supplementing them largely with the transfer portal. But if you're looking for a weakness, and I think I've said this to you probably 40 times over the years, KU's weaknesses are always much smaller than most other people's. But if you're looking for one, there are a lot of new pieces that you're going to be relying on. But that is sort of the state of college athletics these days. And so I'm not concerned. Again, Kansas is, I think, everybody's number one right now and the favorite in the betting markets to win the championship. Bill said that, you know, he was going to get this thing back to a place not only where it was, but better than it's ever been. And I don't know if that made sense on a surface level when he said it, but looking at everything they've accomplished as a staff since he said those words, it looks like he's closer to right than wrong.
Gary, let me ask you about the Missouri Tigers. They got a big commitment, Mark Mitchell, out of the portal. And listen, a lot of talent, a lot of things going right for Missouri. And they're in a different spot than Kansas. Kansas trying to finish off a roster and, frankly, go win a championship. Missouri's just trying to get better. But they are not targeting shooters. How much better can they be? Like, they're getting good talent. Like I said, Mark Mitchell, great. And I'm sure everybody here locally would love to have gotten him. But how much better do you think the Missouri Tigers, we know they can't be much worse, how much better do you think they'll actually be?
I'm going to say they got to be better because they can't be worse, right? 0-18 is 0-18. But, Mike Woodson at Indiana sort of got caught, at least early in this offseason, taking a lot of good players. But then you looked at it and you were like, okay, this guy is below 32% from three. This guy's below 30% from three. I think when Indiana had first popped in the transfer portal and gotten a roster that looked like it would be good enough to be ranked, when you really looked at the details, it was, oh no, how are they ever going to make a shot? Now, to Indiana's credit, they have fixed that a little bit in the subsequent weeks by adding a shooter here or a shooter there. But shooting is obviously important. It's not impossible to be good as a below-average college as a below-average three-point shooting team in college basketball. But it's obviously easier to be good and keep up with the best of the best when you can make shots from the perimeter. People are taking them more often than they ever have, and making them at a better rate in certain places than has been usual in college basketball. And so I'd never say never without putting my eyes on it. But yeah, a roster that lacks shooting and a roster that is so freshman heavy heading into the SEC, that and I know the roster is not freshman heavy, but the class is freshman heavy. That can be challenging. We'll see.
What is, like, we always like to, when we get to the season, say, okay, this total gets them an extension, this win total just kicks the can down the road, and this one gets them fired. What in your mind, if you were the AD, new AD at Mizzou, so obviously not the person that hired him, what gets you fired? Like, what's he got to get beyond to inspire confidence in a new athletic director that he's the guy to stay the course with?
Well, I personally, and I understand the question, but I personally never put a number on it. Like, I never put bars or, like, finish lines when it comes to should somebody keep their job or not. Like, if you make the NCAA, because you hear this all the time, if this guy makes the tournament, he'll keep his job, but if not, he won't. Well, that could literally come down to, like, one shot, one possession. It could come down to a selection committee. Like, do you really want the future of your basketball program as an athletic director tied to whether or not a selection selection committee thinks they're slightly on the right side of the bubble or slightly on the wrong side of the bubble. So I would just, obviously you need progress. You cannot do what they just did again. But, you know, get back to a place where even if you're not making the NCAA tournament, you look like if you can hold this thing together, you're 1 year away from doing it. In the SEC, they're not going to tolerate losing to that degree too long because everybody's got a lot of money. And, you know, they're not afraid or hesitant to pay you to go away to get somebody else to take over. So, yeah, Dennis will enter next season with some real job pressure. But I don't know that if it's like if they miss the tournament, he doesn't get another year, or if they don't win X amount of games. I think it's more of a you got to look at the end of it, the direction of your program, and then decide, is this the guy who can get us where we need to go? And if he is, we're going to stay with him. And if he's not, then it's time to make a change. After this season, and you and I talked about this throughout the year, like I just was unwilling to believe that Dennis Gates could undo every good thing he's accomplished as a basketball coach in one bad year that just got away and went sideways. I still believe in him as a leader of a men's basketball program. He's been doing it at multiple places for multiple years. And with exception of last year, it's gone, you know, incredibly well. So I'm just going to believe in the larger sample size than just the one-year thing and think that he'll get things turned around next season. But undeniably, that he needs to, not as much as any coach in America, but certainly as much as any coach in your area.
Jerome Tang had a huge weekend. They were hosting a lot of kids this past weekend. He's netting a number of guys. In fact, a lot of guard play. He seems to be, you know, embracing the shooting side of things, point guard play as well. What do you think of what Jerome Tang's done to improve his club?
I like it. I mean, he's getting it to a place where I don't know that they'll be preseason top 25, but they're at least at a place now where you have to look at them. You know, not that anybody cares, but I have obviously the top 25 and one. But then there's always a group of teams that are below that where I'm just like keeping an eye on them and updating rosters consistently. And Kansas State is on that list. I know last season didn't end up where, you know, any of those fans wanted it, but they were close and had a chance. And I really do think if, you know, they don't lose a big prior to the season for off-the-court issues, that maybe they could have been in the NCAA tournament for the second straight year. So it's been a great past month for Kansas State. First, you were able to keep Jerome Tang when, you know, other schools were interested, and now he's remaking that roster in a way that's going to give him a chance to be, you know, in that field of 68. I think they'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good, and empowered with a new contract that seemingly gives him control over the roster. As you know, has anyone ever seemed like they, as a president, should be putting a for sale sign up more than what's going on in Manhattan, Kansas?
Yeah, that's a weird deal. You know, and we're talking here, and you know that Jerome was involved with the Arkansas job, and there was some thought that he was on the verge of taking it. And when you talk to people, you know, close to the situation, on the list of reasons that he might do it is, you know, to get a fresh administration and a fresh set of everything. And ultimately, you know, my understanding is that a lot of different things factored into it. Family, one of them, just not a good time to move again. But, yeah, it's never ideal when a coach and an athletic director or a coach and a president or, you know, high profile employees in athletics at any university don't have seemingly the best relationship that it could possibly have with their bosses because, you know, just you work and I work. We all have jobs. Ask anybody. Well, what's it like to not have a great relationship with your boss? That's never fun.
Final Four time. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Walk right in and be seen by the same experts that care for the Royals, the Chiefs, Kansas City Current. It's available right now, 4:35 and all the walk-in clinic. I'll be seen in just a little bit, just a few minutes. Open 8 to 7 weekdays, Saturdays 8 to 2. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. We'll move quickly here, Gary, through our Final Four. It's a Mexican edition as we are here at Rancho Grande, Mexican food edition. We'll start you with this. Salsa, you going spicy or mild?
I will go spicy. I prefer spicy everything to mild anything.
Okay. Fajitas, beef, chicken, shrimp. Which one?
Beef, but I'll take any of them. I like them all.
Okay. Your favorite type of taco? Soft, hard, beef, chicken? What do we got? What's the favorite taco?
Soft beef taco, but if I'm being honest, take me to Taco Bell and give me a cheesy gordita crunch, because then you get both the soft and the hard.
That is my like guy. That is my guy.
There you go. You've made Adam happy, you know, which is what we all strive to do, really. So you've got to consider today a success, Gary. All right, and finally, a margarita, frozen or on the rocks?
I'm going to go on the rocks, no salt. I don't like the salt for some reason. I don't mind it. It's not a deal breaker. But if I'm ordering one for my own, I'll go rocks and no salt.
Well, you got both those wrong. Frozen and salt is the right answer.
I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
Frozen, no salt.
The good news is if we get together and we go to a Mexican restaurant, we'll never grab each other's drink.
That's right. We'll be safe. We'll be safe drinkers together.
Parrish, you're the man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again down the road.
I can't wait. Good to hear from you. Take care.
He's the best. Gary Parrish, our college basketball insider, joins us each and every week during the season, talking a little transfer portal and good news for everybody.
Seems like it.
You know?
Seems like it.
And I do feel validated. He sees the Mizzou thing the same way, but they had to upgrade the talent.
Yes.
Right? You'll figure out the finishing touches of a roster and when you have a more competitive roster.
And the one pleasant surprise as a Missouri fan, I thought last year was going to really hurt Dennis Gates in the portal. I knew we had that great class coming in, but as we've said a million times, you don't win titles by great recruiting classes. You win them in the portal. He's done quite well. The NIL money coming into Columbia, Missouri has helped both the football and basketball teams.
You will do quite well by making your way to Rancho Grande, whether it's tonight, anytime this weekend, anytime really. Cinco de Mayo, they'll have a huge celebration at all three locations, whether it's the puffy tacos, the wonderful fajitas. Come on in. Take advantage of it. We've still got a little bit of time for you to grab a Corona bottle for a buck off. All the Corona bottles are a buck off at Rancho Grande, all three locations, Parkville, Liberty, and Blue Springs. Don't forget Cinco de Mayo coming up on Sunday. They'll have live music and giveaways all day at all three ranchos.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. How many members of the 500 Home Run Club have hit 4 home runs in a game?
One. I'll guess one. That hasn't been done very often.
It has not been done very often. There are actually 2.
Ooh.
1976.
Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt. 1961. National League.
National League.
Right-hand batter.
Right-hand batter. That's not Musial.
Giants.
Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. By the way, looking at that list, the fewest RBIs for a 4-home run game is 4. When Mike Cameron hit 4 home runs back in 2002 for the Mariners, all solo shots.
Wow.
The only one
bad.
To do it.
Not bad. Get you some Good Sense tonight. GoodSenseSubs.com. Don't forget WHBG5. Doing any catering, Good Sense has got you covered. You can save by $5 if you use the code WHBG5. I want to thank everybody here at Rancho. I was going to do... I'm going to squeeze this in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what we want to do?
We'll do it tomorrow.
We want to say thank you to everybody here.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, the whole staff, everybody here, from ownership down, great folks and great Mexican food. You know when there's a line at 4:50 for dinner? You're getting some pretty good food.
The only empty tables, there are people who just left and they were replaced with 4 more people. They keep bringing them in.
Yeah.
They got a great product.
The puffy taco, if you want to see it, Curtis has it. Just posted it on Twitter.
Some guy goes, oh, hell, just take my money.
Yeah. Come
my
in and get some puffy tacos. And, of course, wash it all down with a Corona. Maybe a Corona Premier, if you'd like. If you're watching the carbs and calories, it'll allow you to eat more chips.
Yes.
It's the whole purpose, isn't it?
Well,
all three ranchos, live music, and a big celebration going on for Cinco de Mayo this Sunday. Celebrate Parkville, Liberty, and right here in Blue Springs.